This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
Hi folks, my name is Yvonne Lau and thanks for joining me today for this talk, Back to Our Roots, What Your Grandma Didn't Tell You About Chinese Herbs. So let's start off with a scene. And the scene is something that happens basically weekly in my household. So we have my mom, Grandma, and we have my son, my teenage son, Gabriel, okay, Gabe. And practically every week, my mom will put a bowl of murky soup in front of him and tell him to drink it. Of course, my son will say, Papa, what is this? And Papa means grandma. My mom will say this in Chinese to Gabe. In it has blah, 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 carrots, blah, 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 pork, blah, 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 and it's good for you for blah, 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 blah. And so, of course, my son will look at her with a blank look. And she'll look at me and mutter, how come you didn't teach him better Chinese? And so, and then she'll end it with saying, drink it, good for you, in English, okay? And then she'll walk away, which is wonderful because she didn't see my son's eye roll. So Gabe, being the good sport that he is, he does drink it though, and sometimes he'll like it and sometimes he won't, depending on the season and the ingredients. And now he's learned the smell of many of the soups, and so sometimes he'll even groan before she even puts down the bowl. You may have experienced this growing up or even now, and so I'm here to explain a little bit about what all the blah, blah, blah means. As we all know, food is the universal love language for families and cultures, and my mom was showing my son love by considering the recipe, by buying the ingredients and preparing the ingredients and cooking up this wonderful soup for him. She is just trying to help him be the healthiest he can be. In my mom's case, because she's knowledgeable about Chinese herbs, she actually has the language to explain. However, my son, not knowing enough Chinese to understand Chinese medicine terms, doesn't get it. In other families, maybe it's the same, or maybe elders don't have a thorough understanding of the language to explain these concepts to the younger generation. And I think that that's such a shame because what's being offered is valuable and precious and part of our cultural heritage, and that the lack of understanding causes many people to lose out on something that could really help them. So I'm here to explain that not only are these elders showing you their love, but what you're drinking really is good for you. It isn't random, and it has literally thousands of years of thought, use, and now modern scientific research behind it. So to understand Chinese herbs, you need to understand a little more about Chinese medicine. It's a medical system whose concepts were formed as a way to explain nature, literally millennia ago. One of the most important concepts is qi, and you can see it spelled C-H-I or Q-I, and it's pronounced qi. The Chinese character for qi translates into air or breath, but its original meaning runs much deeper. Everything in our universe is made of qi. And so this qi constantly moves and changes. And again, it can be formless or formed, okay? And so the qi of the air, the qi of the cosmos, is what we call a formless qi, invisible qi for the most part. And then because everything is made of qi, everything that is solid, that we perceive as solid, including ourselves, our bodies, is also made of qi. I say more solid because qi is constantly moving and is permeable, which is super interesting if we think of atoms and quantum physics. A fun fact here, when George Lucas was thinking up his Star Wars universe, he borrowed this concept of qi and called it the Force, literally a force that was invisible, but that could be harnessed and used in a physical way. Yoda levitating is not really different from Qigong masters who can do a handstand on one finger or focus their qi to break bricks with just the palm. Anyway, qi is constantly moving, usually ascending or descending or entering or exiting. Everything in our physical world, including ourselves, are made of qi, and that's always made me marvel at that wisdom, that we really are part of the universe, and that the universe is in us. In fact, each of us is a microcosm of a universe unto ourselves. Our more solid parts are made of qi, but we also have qi swirling within us that make up our breath, our blood, and our body fluids. There's two kinds of qi, pretty much, that make up our health. One is called vital qi, and the other is evil qi. We have good health when the vital qi flows smoothly within us, and when this flow is blocked, it can lead to pain, which is why it may actually be good to walk when you have back pain, for example, because it helps unblock the qi and get circulation going. If you're a fan of Chinese foot massages, you may notice that there are certain spots on the sole of your foot that are painful when pressed. If it's not a callus or from a physical injury, then it's a reflection of blocked qi somewhere in your body. The masseuse will massage it to try to unblock the qi, but you can also unblock qi at home, by soaking your feet up past the Achilles tendon in hot water and Epsom salts. Good health is also supported by the invisible formless qi of the air we draw in through our lungs when we breathe, and is nourished by the nutritive qi made from the food we eat. These contribute to vital qi, and when it's abundant, we have radiant health. When our bodies are out of balance, maybe from not getting enough rest or eating a poor diet, our vital qi becomes deficient, and we can get invaded by evil qi. Like I said, qi is permeable, and we are obviously permeable through our skin. Evil qi are usually environmental forces like wind, cold, or heat, and that imbalance leads to illness. If our vital qi is strong, we can repel the evil qi, or at least heal more quickly. That's where the tools of Chinese medicine can help, including acupuncture, Tui Na massage, herbal medicine, dietary therapy, and Qigong, which is the practice of breathing and movement exercises that can direct and build qi in our bodies. I think it's pretty clear that Yoda was doing Qigong when he meditated, that Jedi training involved a lot of Qigong, and of course, the force being used to power lightsabers is an example of qi being harnessed into energy and form. So, can you tell I'm kind of a nerd? Most grandmas, when they're making these soups, are probably thinking more about the therapeutics of the meats and vegetables that are in the soup. And we'll throw in herbs that are food medicine herbs that you might be familiar with, like goji berries or red dates or lotus seeds, lily bulbs, things like that. But if they're like my mom, who is an herbalist, there will be hardcore herbs in there, which honestly can taste super yucky. And if we're actually sick, then we'll get a super funky tasting bitter herb tea. By the way, when we're talking about herbs, we're not talking about culinary herbs like nice culinary herbs like basil or oregano. We're talking about plants and animals and minerals and lots of their parts. Like Chinese herbs can be roots and flowers and leaves and fungi and bark and definitely lots of different types of animals and minerals. Fair warning, sometimes these combos can taste funky, but as my mom says, good for you. Both medicinal herbs and food therapy herbs in Chinese medicine have lots of research behind them, and the therapeutic qualities and other properties of them have been known for thousands of years. The Chinese Materia Medica actually has almost 10,000 entries and can be combined together in various ways to balance qi. By the way, Chinese medicine concepts are actually much more complicated and detailed than what I'm telling you, but we're keeping it super simple here. In fact, the average acupuncturist spends 4 years in Chinese medicine school to learn them and be able to apply them when diagnosing and treating their patients. So grandma might be giving you a tea or a soup because of the weather or the season. You know, for example, if it's fall, she'll be most likely including herbs that tonify the lungs because the fall is when the air gets drier and colder. So you'll notice that you or people around you tend to have like light, dry coughs in the winter, and that's because the air is drying. And as we, again, breathe in the qi of the air into our lungs, it's actually making our lungs kind of cold, and so that's why we cough. Or she might be making something for you because she's noticed that you have a really flushed face all the time, or pimples, which means that there's the evil qi of heat that's in your body and wrecking havoc a little bit. Or it could be just because she's noticed that you seem tired or fatigued or worn down, and so she's making you a soup that's a tonic because you've been overworked or you've been working late nights or that you're studying hard for exams. She'll make you a tonic tea that will boost your energy and your stamina. Again, it's part of her love language, and so she wants you to be healthy, so respect it and appreciate it. So I'm standing here in the Chinese Medicine Exhibition Hall, sponsored by our American Research Institute of Chinese Medicine here in San Francisco, Chinatown. This hall is dedicated to Chinese herbs, basically. Not Chinese medicine per se, like we don't focus on acupuncture, but we do focus on Chinese herbs. So behind me, you can see the walls where we have lots of herbs displayed by category, what they do, their function in the body. Like I was talking about, your grandma may be making you a tonic. Like these are examples of tonic herbs. And you can see that we have bugs, we have seahorses, we have lots of roots and seeds, okay? And for you history buffs, we actually have a Chinese herbal medicine in America history wall outside, which talks about how Chinese herbs actually got to America, starting from the gold rush days and up to the present day, like its evolution here in America. And it's pretty cool because there's a lot of black and white photos that will show how valuable and important that resource was to the community then and still is today. So come to our museum. It's open every other Sunday. It's free to the public, and you're welcome to come in and learn more about Chinese herbs. And we have docents here that will help explain these categories and the things that I talked about today. And just explore more, whether you're Chinese or not, you know, to understand Chinese herbal medicine and what it can do for you, you know, because it is a precious and valuable and now scientifically proven type of therapy. So you can learn more about Chinese herbs, Chinese medicine, acupuncture, and get dietary therapy recipes online. I mean, this whole world of knowledge online, of course. Just explore more about this wonderful cultural heritage. So stay healthy, stay safe, drink lots of soups, and give your grandma a hug.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.